Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And I feel like people, we got to talk about it. I listed the show as Trouble Tuesday, but let's make it more of a talk about it Tuesday. Steve Brummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
That's pretty much what it is, you know, because, I mean, we're kind of now, we didn't know. We thought we weren't going to have a game until Saturday, but now we have a game tomorrow night. So it's kind of a day before the game show. And then not only do you have that, you turn around, you got another one Monday, then another one Wednesday, then another one Saturday. So, quite a bit coming up. So.
Okay, well, first reaction, Steve. Brian Hall in the booth. Brian, what's going on, my man?
Nothing too much. You know, it's just a good Tuesday, getting ready for a game tomorrow, which I'm actually, you know, I'm excited that we have the midweek game. It seems like it's been, what, a couple weeks since we've had the midweek game. So, yeah, it always gives good content for the week, so I'm excited for it.
I was going to ask you the same question, Steve. Your instant reaction.
Yeah.
Do you think about the personnel when you hear that? You're playing Clemson. Is your first reaction say, oh, Clemson's coming off of a couple tough losses. We might be baked for their recovery. Do you think about the matchups and the timing of the matchups? Like, where do you instantly go when you hear Clemson is being replaced as a Wednesday game?
Well, I don't love it. I mean, because that was a game that I was kind of expecting to get with Malik back, you know, in March. So now that's kind of pushed up to Wednesday. And, I mean, they've struggled since they come back from the layoff. So, you know.
How long do you think it takes to recover from a long layoff?
Well, I mean, when you play Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Florida State, probably
three games.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't come back. And I mean, you saw what happened to Louisville. I mean, when Louisville come back and played Wisconsin. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and in hindsight, you're like, there's no way we should have took that kind of loss to Wisconsin.
Yeah, Jay Billis, I mean, even during that game, was like, this is no indictment on Louisville at all. Like, this is not even close to their team. Like, there's obviously, you know, they've had 8-9 guys that's been sick. They haven't been able to practice.
Yeah, zero practicing.
Yeah, like, this is, we're watching a shell of a team today. Mm-hmm. You know, this is worthless. I mean, he kind of said that. Like, there's nothing you can get out of this game today.
Listen, what if Jay Billis would have said, this is worthless basketball.
I know. I mean, he kind of did, because he was like, this isn't even remotely what Louisville is. So,
since you mentioned Jay Billis, let me just say this, people. I went back and watched it. Do yourself a favor. Actually, Brian, I am going to end up sending you this clip, because I want this clip in the Jay Billis archive, or just, I want this as a part of the show. Every time I mention, by the way, it says iHeartRadio is down. Every time I mention Jay Billis's name, and you won't have it now, but just, I'm going to send it to you at some point. Did you hear Jay Billis talking about TV Teddy during the game?
Yo, yeah. Yeah.
How disgusted was he with TV Teddy? Jay Billis, he's already like very high in my respect category. Yeah. And the only thing that ever irritated me about Jay Billis is sometimes he does sound a little harsher about his Duke, you know, his Duke biases. But listen to me, like, trying to get on somebody for being biased sometimes. But yeah, Jay Billis talking about Teddy Valentine, just, and this is what Jay Billis said, y'all. He said, and why does he have to stop right there? Like, man, just call the foul and go tell the bench. He's like, good grief.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, Brian, a lot of the text line saying that I heart's good, so. Don't stretch yourself out too much. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
y'all got my man bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Emergency panic. Yeah, but Jay Billis was extremely disgusted with the antics of Teddy Valentine.
Yeah, because he was like, man, just tell him it's a foul. He's like, you don't have to act like a teacher.
Yeah,
like,
Or like, why is he stop? He's like, if you don't want to hear what he has to say, keep walking to the table and call it. And
yeah,
call it
yeah,
foul.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was funny.
But, no, yeah, you could tell. But again, now Teddy messed up at Duke Carolina game last year, and then the Carolina thing. So when you start messing with Carolina and Duke, you know, you get a little more scrutiny. So
right, where they can bite at you and not and not face any backlash.
Right. So he's kind of, you know, dealing with that now. So but yeah, when Jay starts speaking out, man, it's that's when you're like, okay, now they're coming after you. So be ready for that. But I don't know. I didn't think TV Teddy was all that bad this week.
Oh no. Listen. It was
we had him against Duke and Kentucky.
You could tell they were doing
that's a nightmare.
They were just doing the tight calls.
No, I know, but I mean, if before the season I said, okay, you're gonna get TV Teddy for Duke and Kentucky, you'd be like, that's unreal.
L.
Yeah, that's unreal. But I said this last week too. TV Teddy to me, I don't think he has it out for Louisville. I don't think he has it out for any certain team. My problem with him is because I've watched games where I felt like he kind of carried us to a win a little bit. You know what I mean? So it's just the fact that anytime.
Does he get too caught up in the game?
Yeah. I mean, anytime he's an official, you know, he could play a role in the game.
I say the games are just going to be closer if he's an official.
Yeah. And I don't like that, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's just insanely annoying. So whatever, but regardless, I didn't think they were that bad. I thought they were calling it kind of tight. I mean, they missed that. You could tell they didn't want to give Matthew Hurt his third for a while, but then when they gave him his third, they gave him his fourth and his fifth pretty quick. So
no, when he got his third, Carleek knew I'm gonna force them.
Well, and the one time, I mean, Carleek went right into him and he fouled Carleek Jones
and was it Jalen, I'll give him, was it Jalen Withers that went to his chest on the other one?
Yeah. So we did a good job, though. I thought, and Coach Mack knew. Coach Mack, but Coach Mack basically said when he got in foul trouble, Coach Mack said, look, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to go into a ball screen every single time. You're either just going to have to constantly play defense down the court or you're going to foul. So one of the two is going to happen, and I think they both happen because I think two of his last three fouls looked like fatigue fouls. So, you know, it's like, there you go. Sorry. I mean, but we're going to put you in a ball screen every single time. We're going to make you play defense, and we're going to make you make a decision.
Make great defensive plays.
Yeah, and he did a couple times.
Or get out the way.
Yeah, and he did a couple times, but more times than not, we took advantage of it, and then David obviously played great defense on the other end. It's funny because David Johnson, I know we're kind of just jumping right into this, but David Johnson, if you were holding on any hope that you were ever going to see him play at Louisville again after this year, Saturday,
it died.
I hope for your sake, Saturday erased that because I've been like, David's gone all along.
Yeah.
So that's not bothered me.
But defensive performance.
David Johnson made so much money on Saturday, and he's already been making himself a lot of money. But David Johnson guarding a 6'9" wing, I'm calling him a wing because in the league, I think Matthew Hurt would be I don't think Matthew Hurt would probably play in the league. We'll see. He might.
Yeah, maybe. He get on the right team.
Yeah, if he got on the right team, he could play. I mean, if who's the real ugly guy that played for Duke? Ryan Kelly. If Ryan Kelly could get in the league.
Why call people ugly?
Oh, he's hideous, dude. I mean, come on. Like, let's not. We don't have to sugarcoat that, right?
He was on Lakers for a while.
Yeah, and he was good. I mean, you know, a role player good, you know. I mean,
not like
so
a star, but yeah.
Yeah, so Matthew Hurt could, but David Johnson, I think he locked himself in the lottery. Like, that kid's a lottery pick. So, good for him, man.
Yeah, if there was going to be
just don't opt out. It's like, you know what? I think I'm out, boys. Enjoy the year.
Listen, David, go make your first team.
There's no chance David Johnson would opt out. Zero. One. I'll leave one.
99.6% chance.
He knows. David Johnson grew up here. He knows what it would mean for him just to play on this team and make a little bit of a run. And I mean, even if you don't go to a Final Four. So, yeah, that'd be big time.
I'm curious since you joined.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get to a couple of these.
By the way, 8150, 93.9 is the number. Feel free to jump in on this one. Clemson. Okay. So you got Clemson.
That's a good text.
Wednesday.
Since joining the ACC, we've never won at Clemson. Damian Lee team lost there. Paget team lost there. Last year's team lost there. Let's break that streak tomorrow. That's a good point, man, because I do remember. I didn't realize we'd never won there, but I do remember taking losses at Clemson. Like, I remember that Damian Lee team, man. They went in there, and we were playing really well. It was on a Saturday at noon. You know, the reason I remember this is it's just I remember we were – me and the wife were making food that day, and it was, like, during the day, and it was kind of snowy outside. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to check his game. You know, we're going to bust him, whatever. And then we lost. And it was like – it's one of them, like, random, like, why did we lose – how did we lose that game, you know? And then, of course, the David Paget team lost there. And
wait, is that when he tried to play Jordan a little bit, though? I feel like he played somebody that we had never played. Like,
it's possible.
It was like, thank you, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't enough to, like.
Probably Dwayne.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't realize that, though. We hadn't won there yet. It's going to be tough. Look, it's going to be a tough game Wednesday night. I was listening yesterday to Drew and them, and that's one thing I was adamantly on parents' side on that one. I was like, no, this is going to be a tough game, man. Like, they're a good team.
And this is, listen, with Clemson taking these losses, this is their last chance to save their season.
Oh, yeah, because they have gotten ran since coming back off of Blossom game played at Clemson. Yeah. For 10 years, that is true.
You remember Zion was supposed to go to Clemson?
Yeah. And it was real talk, too.
No, he was going to Clemson?
Yeah, like, you know, so it's...
Yeah, just, and then you remember how they, like, found out that Zion was going to Clemson? And a guy mentioned something about Zion, and he got fired?
Nike was like, yeah, you know what, let's not do... We already got the football thing there. Let's do this over there.
Make sure you have a nice $2.5 million house.
I know. Yeah. They're like, come on now. Like, because as soon as somebody was like, I mean, yeah, the football coaches pay at Clemson. You're like, yeah. Come on. Hey. So, yeah, but man, it's a game where, I mean, they've really been taken to the woodshed in the last couple games. But, I mean, this is a team that beat Alabama. This is a team that's beating a few good teams.
Purdue,
man.
Alabama. Yeah.
They were ranked up until yesterday.
Yeah, oh, they were ranked in the top 20, man. I mean, yeah. they got up there kind of high, and then they had that COVID layoff where a bunch of them had gotten sick, and then they come back, and like I said, you're introduced back with, oh, here's Virginia. Oh, here's Georgia Tech. Oh, here's Florida State, who might be playing better than any – I mean, maybe as good as anybody in the country right now with Gonzaga and Baylor. So, you know, it's like, okay, now – when you get rocked and you play three quick games like that, now this is what worries me is Clemson has now, to play into Marcus's point, they've said, okay, everybody settle down.
Right.
All right, we were top 20. We took three bad losses to three really good teams. Got this Louisville team coming in. They're top 20. Louisville's a top 25 team now.
Save our season.
Yeah, right. It's, okay, we got them at home.
Has four straight losses in.
Yeah, no, you lose to Louisville, their season could start spiraling, 100%. But if you can come back and you can beat a ranked Louisville team who just come off beating Duke, who's beating Virginia Tech, who's beating good teams, you know what I'm saying? You're going, okay, now let's get it rolling again.
Let me ask you something, Steve.
You'll take their best shot on Wednesday.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Let me ask you.
Okay.
Going into the Duke thing, of course, listen. When people downplay a Western Kentucky, it irks my nerves. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
You know, there's a lot of good teams in college basketball. A lot of good coaches. A lot of good.
A lot of good players.
Yeah, a lot of good players.
Western Kentucky's got three, four Mr. Basketballs. Like, good God.
Right.
Yeah, and Charles Bassey.
And Bassey.
I mean, Charles Bassey was best player in the state that year. Yeah. He just wasn't eligible for the award, you know? Like,
Mr. Louisiana basketball in there, too.
Yeah, I'm like, that's Western's team.
Right.
Like, people just are like, man, it's Western.
Right. So if you do that and you start going down, even Duke's rank, like, just because they don't look overwhelming, they got players. And they got a Hall of Fame coach at Duke.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they got five stars all over the place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when I look at these games and I say people who know things still know that that's Duke.
Yeah.
They still know that that's Duke, Steve.
Yeah.
So You know, all the people who say...
Real quick, let me throw this in there. A guy says, since COVID, his schedule's changed, so he hasn't heard the beginning of the show for a while, and he forgot how awesome the intro is.
I appreciate that. Yeah, surely appreciate that.
Sorry.
So, the rankings...
Yeah.
...or perception of how good Louisville is...
Oh, yeah.
...jumped up back up to top 25.
Yeah.
After you beat Duke. Was that more David and Carleague, or was that more respect for you beating Duke? Because here's the thing. I had two thoughts.
Okay.
Coach K's test analogy, right?
Yeah.
People saw that across the world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That can bump you up. That can make you feel like Louisville's a better team than we thought.
Absolutely.
If I watched that game and I saw Carleague Jones for the first time, let me check out this. Let me just check out this Saturday, 4 o'clock Duke Louisville game.
It wasn't technically college game day, but it was, because it was the premier game on the college game day show, even though they're not getting away with this. This doesn't count as college game day at the Yum Center. But you got Billis and Shulman, so you got the A team, you got the college game day team. So, I mean, it technically was college game day. It was your 4 o'clock game. Billis, Shulman,
it was all the game day.
Billis, they did the special on it during the day. They kept going back to it.
Look, they did the Carleague Jones.
Yeah.
The
and I'm saying even in the morning time on college game day, it was, Billis was live from Louisville. It was kind of your game of the day. Yeah.
Right. So what is it that made the nation say, this is a top 25 team?
Carleague and David, right?
I'm asking.
Well, I think it was a mixture of, and I'm doing the Brian Hall here, but I mean, sorry, he's kind of a verb, but it's a mixture of what you're saying. I think it's Duke, whether you like it or not. I said this when we were in Indy for the Sweet 16, and it was Louisville was playing Oregon and Duke was playing Michigan State. And it's like, there's just something at the tournament. It's the Notre Dame factor. When Notre Dame, I don't care if they're good, bad, or whatever, when those Golden Domes run out of the tunnel, whether you're there at Notre Dame or you're here at Louisville, that's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal. And you're like, ooh, that's a different feel. We were there and we watched Louisville, who had the number one overall seed. Like, Louisville's the favorite to win the national championship. They're playing Oregon. They're winning. But when Duke's there, you're like, Duke. It's Coach K. It's Duke. And they run out of the tunnel after Louisville, after the number one team in America just, beats Oregon. And it's like, ooh, but there's Duke. They kind of coming out and you're like, you see those black warm-ups, and you're like, oh, that's Duke. Okay, Carolina, I think, has that effect too, right? Kentucky, whether you like it or not, has that effect. If you're, as a Louisville fan, you feel a little indifferent because they're your rival and you're so close to it. But if you're not Louisville, somebody from an outsider is like, oh, it's Kentucky. Check it out, it's Kentucky. People are, like, yeah. So I think that factors in. But David and Carleague.
If you watched this team for the first time.
Yeah.
And saw David and Carleague.
And I
you don't want any parts of this team.
No, but here's the other thing I'm going to say. Take yourself out of it, man. I'm looking at a guy like Jalen Withers, and I'm like, he's a redshirt? What? He's a freshman? What did that kid have? That kid's 6'8". He's a freshman. He's running up and down the court. He's, golly.
Did you see Jalen off that play, sprint up the court, and look up like I described, looked up over his shoulder. I mean, of course, he fell on the ground.
I yelled at him three times during that game. I was like, look, I felt like I was talking to my oldest. Stay on your feet, son. Why are you walking down the hallway falling?
You were so mad. You were so angry at your kid.
Oh, my gosh. And then, look, and I use my two-year-old against him. I'm like, that little SOB dude, he'll go to fall and catch himself. And I'm like, dude, he's got balance for days. He's got it, man. Like, that kid, listen.
Steve sounds insane, y'all, doesn't he?
For as much as y'all have heard me, like, this is going to be a ride over the next 15, 20 years on this show. It's going to be awesome for you guys to live through. Because where I've been like, man, my oldest is, he's a monster, dude. He's big, strong kid, man. But he's just got to mentally get it, you know, in the game of football. I'm like, you got to, and I'm trying. And I told him, I'm like, here before long, I'm going to start feeding you gunpowder and raw meat. Because I'm like, that's the only thing I can think to do, just make you insane.
Insane, right?
Yeah, so it's one of those deals. But, man, this next one coming up, I'm kind of cocky about him. I'm like, nah, he's going to be a stud.
How many hours a day does he growl?
He's already got the qualities.
Oh, Marcus is on the phone with me, dude. And you'll just hear him in the background.
Listen, and I'm talking about for a full 40-minute conversation. Yeah. I can hear him in the background just, you know, DMX back there,
dude. I'm telling you, that, listen, that kid's got it, man. He's gonna be a heck of a player. But anyway, my oldest can be too. Which speaking of that, after the break, about 10:45, we're gonna have the head coach of Bullet East on to talk about some awesome things going on there.
Who's
with the youth. Ethan Atchley. So okay. You're going to be calling him here soon. So I'll give you his number. Yeah, so that'll be fun. He's expecting your call.
Yes, listen. Texas.
But yeah, Jalen.
Says, yeah, and then you say, again, I know we're just like in love with our babies in the roster right now, but right now we're being an outside fan base, you know what I'm saying, who looked at the Duke game for the first time.
Yeah.
And saw frustrated Duke. Like, how many times did the camera show Coach K in the sideline over there just looking at each other like, you know, what do you think? It's like looking at his players, yeah, like they don't know how to play basketball.
Yeah, like I've told you. Texter says this, and this is the one you don't like to admit, but I think it factors in too. I think voters also realize Florida State's a problem. like we're not going to hold Louisville to that Florida State thing. Like, that team is monsters. I mean, I was watching ESPN the other day, and it wasn't during our game, it was during another game, and they were talking about Florida State. It might have been halftime of the Kentucky game, and they were talking about Florida State, and they said, they're now, I mean, it's a 7-win Florida State team, and they're like, they're Final Four expectation.
Where do they rank now?
16. I can't believe it. I would have put them higher. But they took like 4 or 5 losses early. You know, and it's like, so, but now you're looking at them, and I mean, they were like, I mean, this is Final Four expectations at this point. I mean, they dang near might win it all. Because I said last year, the two teams I felt the worst for in that tournament, now, of course, my own team is all I really truthfully felt bad for, but Dayton, I didn't think Dayton could win the championship or anything like that.
But you wanted to see them.
But they were a one seed. You're like at Louisville, you're like, oh, we're a 1 seed, oh, we're a 2 seed, you know, whatever. Well, it sucks, but we'll get on. Dayton, you're like, you may never see a 1 seed again and have the player of the year. You may never see that again. Then the other thing was Florida State, because Leonard Hamilton gets his main thing for that's why I always, when Joel called the one time, it was like, I'd take Leonard Hamilton on the post game, and I was like, dude, you say that now, but he chokes in the tournament every year. Every year, we'd be ready to drop kick him, dude. You know, you're like, I don't care how much you're winning, dude. You're getting beat early. But here's the thing. Last year, I think they could have won it. So it's like those two really, it felt like, got the.
What, you have two players in the top 10?
Yeah. But this year, man, they dang near, they're probably just as good with Scotty Barnes. And I hate to do this because we went to Louisville. And I don't know how we got on Florida State. But I found myself gawking at Florida State. Like, Scotty Barnes was one of the most impressive specimens I've saw in a long time.
To me, it's Bosa and Gray that complement.
Yeah. Scotty Barnes. Right. Because, I mean, Barnes is just out there, and he looks 6'9".
Gray didn't realize he could be the best player in America on the
list. Oh, I know. this 260 pounds, 6'8" guy, he's LeBron size.
Listen, he's like Draymond Green, but stronger.
And can probably handle, I mean, handles the ball better.
And handles the ball better, a lot better.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was just, I mean, that was crazy. So, anyways, to the texter's point, I think the voters did kind of go, dude, that Florida State team, like, come on, Louisville played a bad game against Miami. The Florida State thing didn't really have nothing to do with Louisville. That, you know, like, and then for Louisville to come right back and beat Duke, in a game where Duke shot the ball fairly well.
Yeah, when I went back and watched it. A lot of people watched it with me at 12 o'clock last night. Steve, we had 11 defensive possessions, mm-hmm. and we might have had two egregious errors.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about Quinn got off his feet a little too much and gave up the and one to Matthew Hurt, right?
Yeah.
And I think Sam or somebody might have like jumped for a pump fake. And, yeah. And it ended up, yeah. No, you know what it was, the other play? When David Johnson saved the ball and it went right to their team.
David, throw the ball that way.
Here's the thing.
Little league ball.
Here's the thing.
Stuff.
I think he was trying to like throw it up higher and it just ended up going lower than he thought.
I know, but still.
Because like, you knew where Carlique was. I think he was trying to hit it to half court.
He might have. I still would have. Just don't save the ball on that end of the court. Because now it's. Now it's 5-on-4. I mean, like, that's Little League stuff.
So Sam,
but David, you're also a lottery pick. So, you know what?
No, listen. I'm telling you, when I went back and watched it,
you're right.
I saw exactly what
sure,
he saw.
Sure. Well, I've never played Division I. So, in my mind, look.
He knew Carlique was at midcourt, and he was trying to throw it.
Okay, well, that's great. That's great that your Division I mind knows that, who's played many Division I games and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, in Little League.
I'm right, places, and you're wrong.
In the places I have talked.
Look, because normally you would be 100% right. Yeah.
But in Little League, that's a bad play. No, but okay,
no risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah, okay.
That's why he's going lottery.
Let's drop that. Let's never use that one again. Look, you're on the Geico commercial now. It's funny. They make fun of me, Brian. If you saw the Geico commercial about the signs in your house?
No.
Where they're like, no fussing, no cussing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they kill me on the stream, on the Made for the Ville stream. Because right behind me in our kitchen, I have Thankful and Blessed, the big sign. Oh, and yeah, so they just, it was the funniest.
Catch.
Yeah, sorry, the phone's ringing, my bad.
That was, thing, right?
Yeah, I bought it.
Oh.
No, okay. truthfully, I picked it out at Kirkland's. Like,
no, yeah. You know why I said that? Because I was watching the Barstool highlight. Have you seen the Barstool highlight when they have, you know, parlays or whatever going on? And they're all watching, you know, the Barstool guys are watching the Tom Brady to...
You sent it to me.
Yes.
To the white kid.
Yes. Yeah. What's his name? Not Collier.
Scott. Scott Miller. Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So on that play, you see him react, and the dude is so pumped, right?
Touchdown right before the half?
Yeah. Yep. And he says something like, you know, something parlay, you know what I'm saying? Like, can't lose parlay.
Yeah,
he's
got
just
the
pumped.
Hat.
And then he's like, no risk it, no biscuit. So that was like fresh on my mind, and I felt this energy on that one, Steve. Jason, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
I got a question for you about some NBA basketball. I've been keeping up with Jordan, which I'm sure you all have too, Wara, and I've noticed the last four or five games, if he gets in, he's getting 7 minutes, but I think the last four games he hasn't got in at all. And how many more games do you think this happens before they send him down? And, you know, he's no longer with the Warriors, at least for a while. I don't know how that works. Maybe they bring him back for the playoffs, but it seems like – or the Bucks, sorry. But I want your opinion on that, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
I appreciate the call, Jason.
Wow. I like Jason's calls. Jason calls in a lot. He has great stuff.
What do we do to you, Jason?
Do you hate us, Jason? I felt like we had good energy.
Apparently
this
he didn't
morning.
Like the topic.
I felt like we were having fun, and then you just hit me with
what were we talking about that Jason got that he felt like he had to just.
No, Jason's a great caller. Yeah, this is not one of those
caller.
We're just jumping on Jason because Jason knows.
This isn't like Alan last week.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Like we enjoy Jason's calls. Like so that's why I'm so like hurt by this. I'm like, Jason, what did we do to incite is Jordan Wara going to the D League? I was about to go into this text. I thought this text about Duke. About Jay Billis kept bringing up how Duke was like not, you know, because normally that's Duke's MO. they're aggressive and they shoot more free throws. And he was like, man, Louisville's shooting 24 free throws. Duke's shooting 9, and I don't really feel like it's a bad call thing. I think it's Louisville's just going to the bucket and Duke's not. Louisville's making Duke just shoot free throws. Or I'm sorry, jump shots. They can't get to the bucket. Yeah, Jason, I don't know. If Jordan goes to the D League, I mean, we'll mourn. We'll be sad. I mean, maybe he'll hone his craft and get back up there. The progressive. I like Jason. Jason, look, redeem yourself tomorrow. You're fine. The progressive current about not becoming your parents. That's totally me. Let's see. Jason's like, this will get them off of Florida State.
Was that what it was?
Maybe it was too much Florida State love. We'll go with that. I'm going to go with that.
That Jason hates Florida State.
I'm going to go with too much Florida State love to ease my mind because I like when Jason calls so much. Because like I said, we become like a family here. So, I mean, when I see names and stuff now, I kind of know where – things are going,
yeah,
or vice versa, kind of, if you see certain names, you're like, oh, here we go, or if you see, you know, and Jason's one that I usually see his name pop up, I'm like, oh, okay, he's probably good, you know, it's just, he just kind of hit me out of left field there, like I was ready for a, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, hey, okay, some, back, right. Some good back and forth, yeah, on this subject,
yeah, well, like, okay, well, we got that done, so, but regardless, I did, to the texter's point, I did like that, man, that Louisville is gaining. And that may have helped with the rankings too, man. You said, yeah, dude, LeBron was an animal last night.
Come at the king, you best not miss.
He was an animal last night, man. Golly. I was watching that game. I was watching that. I turned it on about the fourth quarter. What about Trez punching on JaVale McGee? He knew he had to punch on JaVale McGee, right? Because they let you go to get me. So, like, I have to own you right now.
I
want
to get JaVale back, though, to the Lakers.
I like him more than
people.
I like
JaVale as, like, an underrated
guy. I really like JaVale McGee.
I've always liked him as kind of an underrated guy. But still, Trez knew, like, I've got to work
him. Trez put to people. If you have time, go type in Trez, T-R-E-Z-Z, or his full name, right? Watch him put JaVale McGee in just post-man jail. And he put his body against him so he could load up. He loads up the exact way that I need Jalen Withers to load up. Like, he has the spring that he needs. All he has to do is get the lower body and the confidence to explode out of his posture. Trez put him in jail. It was a thing of beauty. Yeah, but yeah, Bron's awesome, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So Bron was good there too. But yeah, man, I don't know. I'm ready though. I'm looking forward to kind of getting playing. And you know what I hate? And this is a terrible way to look at things. And I'm fully aware of that. But we play so many games back to back to back to back here, like tightened up. Okay, I'm going to say this and then y'all forget I ever said it. Don't ever hold it against me. Kind of gives you a built-in excuse if you drop one or so. You know, if you drop one or two, you're kind of like.
Oh, listen. Somebody asked me, what do I think we finish with, right? Mm-hmm. And I found myself looking at the next two games and then the next two games, and I was splitting quite a few. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get Georgia Tech and Clemson. You could split one of them. And I'm almost relieved if you split one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying don't lose two.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got like Syracuse and, you know, the Duke rematch or something, you know, and I'm like, just split.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, of course, you're gonna want to win some, you know, like so win some doubles, you know. So, you know, my Notre Dames and the games we're supposed to win. We get Pittsburgh back full strength. Pittsburgh's going to want to take a chunk out of you.
I agree with that.
Pittsburgh is like a little Calipari to Rick just chasing you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like Pitt, there's something about Pittsburgh. I've seen them play some other teams, and I'm thinking, why doesn't this team show up for Louisville games? They have a different level of excitement. So, yeah, Pittsburgh's just always on your, you know, nipping at your heels.
Sure.
And But, you know, like when we're talking about the matchups moving forward and the games moving forward, you can lose some, but you can win some.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that's like the most cliche thing you ever
said. That's your options right there. Yeah. There's not really
it's just as easy as you can win. Yeah. You can lose a lot of games.
No, I know. So, and you kind of cap it off with that godforsaken Virginia game. So that's always fun, which I'm going to Orlando for that game. That's how much I hate that game. So, like I said, I bless y'all with that for 3 days.
I tell you what, we will take our commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coyle Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COYLE75. So visit COYLEDEALS.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COYLE75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coyle, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. So there's been a lot of speculation. I don't want to say a lot of speculation, a lot of interest. We don't normally have guests. So when we do, people, you open up your ears, you relax, you tell a friend to tell a friend. These interviews are always informative. Here we have joining us from Bullet East, the head coach, Ethan Atchley. Thanks for joining us today on Middays with Marcus Maven. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys? I appreciate you guys having me and what we're trying to do on.
Absolutely. Listen, you seem as excited as anybody to kind of jump into it. It's looking like you kind of have a game changer going, a new initiative. Give us a little bit of the blueprints of what you got going.
So in Bullitt County, we've had a countywide, youth league football-wise that's done some great things over the years, that, you know, at 50 years worth of tradition and pride that the county's seen football at the youth league level transition from to. And in 2020, you know, I would say that a few years back, let's say five, you know, you probably had the concussion movie. I'm not exactly sure when that came out. But, you know, you've had a few things, the NFL get attacked and really the sport of football in general. And you've got to do some things differently when you look at how you build a program football-wise nowadays than maybe you had to do before. And some of that as a high school varsity coach, you know, you've got to look and see what's your youth league doing. And then more importantly, what do you have to do in the best interest of kids? And that's really where this Mount Washington Football and Cheer Association has started. With what we're transitioning to from the countywide model that, you know, enveloped in for years, again, 50 years of Bullet Central, North Bullet, and Bullet East all making, decisions as a countywide system that right now, you know, after 2 years as being a head football coach here at Bullet East, and bringing a family, raising a family. I got three little ones under five, and trying to look at what this community was for somebody like Mike Egan years ago, you know, that basically built Bullet East football into the tradition that it transitioned to Mike Settles, and Doug Preston was a head coach here and went to state along with, you know, the years that Coach Egan did. And now here we are in 2020 where you're looking as a high school coach at deteriorating numbers in a youth league format countywide, and ultimately, Bullet East or Mount Washington as a city is different than Shepherdsville and Hillview and the county as a whole. You know, you've still got other pockets that ultimately are their own niches, their own pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses, and Mount Washington as one community that's growing as fast as you know, really Georgetown, Kentucky, or Bowling Green,
right.
You know, as other areas that rival it. You know, we wanted to have some more control to do what's best for our kids and our community as we transition high school wise into, you know, what is 2020 football, high school football, and a growing high school at the 6A level.
What are some of the biggest challenges you faced of kind of, because, you know, people are always resistant to change, but if the current format, if a lot of people are not having their best interest represented, there's going to be some pushback, there's going to be some hurdles that you have to get through. What have been some of the hurdles that like present challenges for you in particular with the kind of changing of the guard?
Well, you hit it on the head, Marcus. It really boils down to change is hard for a lot of people. And I've admitted to a lot of people that I've always kind of embraced it. I might be guilty at times on some decisions that I've made that, you know, maybe we should have let that run its course a little bit longer with something football related, because it's all I do. But, you know, when you start talking about resistant groups or pockets of people, you know, we've run into a lot of people that have been very supportive. I mean, I think most rational people that have looked at what we're trying to do for the betterment of kids in Mount Washington, and I say that very selfishly. We want to do what's best for our community, and I can't, without knowing the details and the nitty-gritty of another community that might ask my opinion or somebody else's opinion, until you get into it and you learn the ins and outs, strengths and weaknesses, you probably don't know the whole scope and picture. But the rational people that have been in the GBCYFL, specifically on our side of things, they take a step back, and we've really kind of given a lot of information to people that I think got skewed when we first went down this path, kind of around Christmas break, before Christmas break. And I went to some community leaders, and we've had a slew of people, ironically including Willie Foster, who is a former Bullet East principal, now currently the male principal that is in our high school district football-wise, mm-hmm. and, you know, somebody that we're chasing to try and get to that level. And, you know, but he's a community member, so lives in Mount Washington. He's helped be instrumental in kind of being one of the other key voices to try and reason with the naysayers, so to speak, that ultimately are really at the youth league level. I'll be honest, they're kind of holding on to some pride and tradition,
uh-huh.
or it's a power trip for a few of them, and it's unfortunate because that's not what's best for kids. This decision boils down to what's best for the kids in our community. And some people don't see it that way, but that's the truth of it. You know, we want to see a unified youth football team, youth football association to make decisions for all the kids that live in Mount Washington to have red and gold pride as they grow throughout, you know, our grow up into our middle school program that was just started here 2 years ago. You know, that was one of the things when I took the Bold East job coming from Lexington Christian Academy that I didn't know that they didn't have middle school football. And I that was like the one stone I feel like I didn't uncover as I was going through that process. But
right.
but it was a fairly easy process. In the first 2-3 weeks after I got announced, we brought middle school football to the Bold East community and even the North and Central area. You know, Bold Central and North Bullet have middle school teams. Our numbers have grown even despite COVID this year. With middle school football, we had 46 when we kind of pulled that away from the countywide model that used to be called the A-team. And I've said this to a lot of people. What the GBCYFL is, it thrives in the state of Florida. The Pop Warner model, where you play in a countywide or a league-wide system, where you aren't in the school, so to speak. Like, there's a lot of middle schools across the state that have a middle school program that a coach is hired by a board of education, and, mm-hmm. and you know, there's some you know, alignment within, you know, each board of education and school system, but with ours it's outside. And you know, we can look at that as a negative, or we can look at it and we can say, okay, here are the cards we're dealt. We have a phenomenal middle school coach in Darren Lewis, doesn't have a kid on the team. That was something I was incredibly attracted to, and fell into my lap at Lexington Christian Academy that I had for a number of years.
Right.
And it's a game changer for us to grow numbers and not have people say Darren Lewis is going to play daddy ball and the kids love him and,
right.
And all that. But, you know, the reality is we're trying to get a K-12 alignment in a community that's growing as fast as they can bring the lumber in to put the houses up. I mean, it's exponential growth population-wise, and all we're trying to do is do what's right by kids and set up a great organization to really make it so that football thrives in Bullitt East in the same way that it has before. You know, as they've grown as a school and a community, football has found ways to adapt and change, you know, and so that's what we're doing here now.
Talking with Coach Ethan Atchley, Bullitt East head coach, could you give me the number one biggest change that has been made to your system? I want to give people a description, like you're going from one style of, you know, full, I think Steve gave me a feeder system. I think that was the term used. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you describe it as a feeder system now or the feeder system before?
I would say that the feeder system that we're putting in place now is much stronger. We had kids before that were on three separate youth league teams that were in the East District with the Old Mill Bengals, the Pleasant Grove Dolphins, and the Mount Washington Colts. And then there were other, you know, separate silos of teams is the words we've been using. Is those teams are competitive against one another as opposed to all being coached under the same kind of premise and tutoring, running the same drills, learning terminology at that age and different things that the high school coach, high school coaches, high school players are able to, again, be in alignment with those younger ones. And you've got to water it down, simplify it. There's no question, you know, compared to what you do high school-wise. But the one feeder program, if you look across the state at some of the blue blood programs, you know, from a Highlands to a Boyle County that our principal here at Bullitt East, you know, had coached for over 20 years as an assistant with some of the, you know, Mount Rushmore type coaches of a Larry French and a Chuck Smith. They're in complete alignment. There's a consistent alignment from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top that these kids in Boyle County and hopefully now at Bullitt East will bleed red and gold and will strive to be future Chargers as opposed to being obsessed with I'm a Mount Washington Colt and I don't like the Old Mill Bengals or I don't like the Pleasant Grove Dolphins. And competition is great, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But being able to have those three now under one umbrella and being able to play at our new $10 million sports park that's in Mount Washington, you know, two, you know, great fields. One's a Bermuda field, one's transitioning to Bermuda. I mean, they're phenomenally kept up with. And that ability to play at that park, you know, add flag football in. You know, we're playing tackle football in the GBC YFL County model at 5 years old. I mean, there's kids that go out and play tackle football before they ever sit in a kindergarten classroom. And to me, that's not helping grow the game. We're not doing good things in that model for kids. And that decision was made many years ago. But having one unified program top to bottom where kids aspire to be Chargers, grow and develop, and when they get to the middle school level in seventh and eighth grade, and then on into high school when they become, you know, true Chargers at Bullitt East High School down the road.
Right. Coach, Steve Rummage here. You know, I've spoke with you off air too, and I mean, I love the model. I think this is a big deal. But let me ask you one last question here, and then we'll get you out of there. By the way, I do want to say Willie Foster has done some great things in his life, but maybe his best accomplishment was this 6'3", 260-pound tight end that he developed in 2005 that became a great man, Steve Rummage. Yeah, so yeah, he did. He did a great job with that guy. But last question, and I'll get you out of here. You talked about a couple things that have been asked to me, but you talked about competition. In this style, is it going to take kind of the middle school style, even in Little League, as far as opponents-wise, and just kind of give us the setup of kind of who these guys will be playing and different things? Because I think that the competition is going to be there.
The competition will definitely be better, and some of the details that, you know, we just can't cover in a call like this. And again, I truly appreciate you guys having me on just to get a little bit out there. But, you know, our youth teams have had some winning percentage success in the countywide model that has basically only been Bullitt East, North Bullitt, and Bullitt Central teams playing each other. They have not played outside competition. And our middle school, you know, here just started middle school football, you know, 2 years ago. And this past year, they've, you know, they lost to the Union Raiders that feed into Ryle High School. They have some really strong middle school groups right now. It was a humbling experience for some of our kids. You know, we've played and gone toe-to-toe, with some Shelby County teams, and it's been good for us. We'll get the brakes beat off us by a Bardstown team, turned around the next week, here shortly after, and ended up beating South Warren's middle school in the playoffs. And those things for our middle school kids to see outside competition leading up to what they're going to see in our district at the high school level, when our school is going to stay at the 6A level and whoever ends up in our district for years to come, the school's not getting smaller. So our kids, as they feed in, to have that outside competition at the middle school level is better preparing them, whereas 3 years ago, they were just playing one or two other teams that were in the north or the central district, in the DBCYFL, when the middle school model that they called the A team in seventh and eighth grade was only really four teams in the county. So the numbers it wasn't a good setup. Well, now those kids end up beating a South Warren middle school feeder that feeds into a school that's won the 5A state championship a handful of times here in the last few years. That's better preparing those kids for success. And so our youth league now is going to play in the Mount Washington Football Association, is going to have teams that will play in the Mid-Kentucky League. And so we'll play some outside entities, in the Nelson County area down to Taylor County, Bardstown in it. And Spencer County just jumped in it last year. We played them at the varsity level. It's a good community rivalry. It's been here for years. And then we're going to partner. The great thing is with Boyle County, and play in like their their Rebel Bowl with their youth league teams, and they're gonna send a couple youth league teams up here to play ours and just trade off and play a game or two each year with them, so that our kids and our community can see really one of the ways it's done really, really well. You know, if we could get to Belfry and our youth teams could go play, you know, for Philip Haywood's feeders that have the same skull and crossbones with pirates on the side of their helmet at third grade as they do as seniors, we do it. I mean, Highlands is another great model that's up there. And all across the board, that consistent alignment with the best programs, it's evident. You know, and you can see sprinkles of the South Warren High School team down at the middle school ranks where we played them in this past year in the playoffs and did well and had a great showing. And our kids slowly and surely are getting better, and now being able to get all the way down into the kindergarten, first, second grade area, add in flag football to keep it fun for kids at a really young age, get rid of that, you know, tackle model as we phase it out. But right now, you know, one of the things we got back was people talking about, you know, my kid this year in first grade, he wants to play tackle next year as a second grader. So, we're going to have that option, you know, if that's what people are wanting right now as we look to evolve with this thing. But it's not going to be perfect, but I'm very confident it's going to be an absolute dynamite deal for the town of Mount Washington here for years to come, because we now have control over what the East is able to do.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate it. Like I said, I have an 11-year-old going into the middle school system, but, Coach, I'm telling you, and he's a big kid and everything, but I have this 2-year-old. And Coach, I'm telling you, this kid, my 11-year-old's big, he's strong. I'm working with him mentality-wise. It's the only thing that's left. But this 2-year-old, Coach, he's a stud, man. I'm telling you, he's a stud.
I love it.
So,
hey, start him young.
Listen, you're talking to the right couple guys. Look, Marcus put a kid in the league. He's got a kid in the NFL, and look, we're a little crazy when it comes to that part of it. But we appreciate it, Coach, so much. I love what you're doing. I appreciate you stepping out, and kind of doing this, even you know, through whatever resistance or not. And we thank you very much, man. And anytime we can help, please, man, let us know.
Thank you all very much for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Coach. That's Bullet East football coach, Ethan Ashley.
Now, you cannot question if that man cares about football. He knows everything about what's going on around him.
I think it's a good model, too, man.
That was passion.
Yeah,
That's how you build monster programs, though. You kind of like get a bunch of people in the same room who have the same goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not always the popular decision, but when you go and you look at the best programs, man, I mean, it's uncomfortable. I mean, that's what they do, man.
Yeah, no, listen, sports, real sports, to be major programs, you're going to have more uncomfortable conversations than just playing for, hey, just hey, somebody lives here and maybe you want to play and maybe you don't. Like, real programs take the bull by the horns
yeah.
and make it happen.
Roll it up, man.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.